You may want to turn first this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1. The title of the message this morning is A Call to Holy Living. Now, I don't think probably that most of you were that much different than I was when I was called by God to accept Jesus as my Savior and what to expect and what I wanted to be, what I was told, and what I expected, the hopes that I had for being a Christian. I know that the most of you sincerely want to live with God's blessings and peace by doing things God's way, because you've learned that that's the way you do it. So the secret to the whole thing is studying enough about God that we might know and understand Him and the way He thinks, the way He acts toward us, and what He expects of us. He said we were created unto good works and what those good works are. Now, I think most of us realize that learning how to live like God wants us to live can come from being taught by preachers and teachers, by studying Scripture, and by revelation of Jesus, being taught by Him straight from Him to you through the work of the Holy Spirit. There are three ways we can do this. Now let me say this. By studying Scripture, we have to understand what Scripture really means. We have to have the Holy Spirit to teach us that. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, Him speaking directly to us to guide us each day, has to come through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. So the Holy Spirit's in charge of that too. He brings Jesus' message to us and tells us what Jesus is saying about what we ought to do. And then we've got the instruction that comes from preachers and teachers. And you see, this depends on the Holy Spirit also for whether or not they're telling us the truth. I'm bad to write in the margins of my Bibles. And sorry to say, I've had to go back and erase a lot of things that I've written down that I was taught in the early days of learning to be a Christian, because the teachers and the preachers were in error in some of the things they told me. So we've still got to be in charge of that too. And we have to throw that on the Holy Spirit to make sure that we're being taught what Jesus said. We know the Bible is the truth because the Holy Spirit tells us that it is, and Jesus told us that it is. But sometimes the meaning get lost in a little bit of interpretation. So many things of the Bible that were taught for centuries have ceased to be taught. Most of these things that I know they don't talk about anymore has to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, why was that? I don't know. It's speculation on my part. But I think one of the things that had something to do with it is the rise of the Holiness Church. And some folks thought that they didn't want to handle scriptures exactly like some other folks did. And so they quit trying to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit at all. And it's kind of like being around an old pot-bellied stove, if you remember that. If you touch it, you can burn yourself sometimes if you get too close. But if you get too far away, it's no good to you because you won't get warm anyhow. And I think that's what has cooled a lot of Christians, because they got too far away from the instruction of the Holy Spirit and the ministry that God has given the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. Last week in Ephesians chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but you remember that it talked about in verse 21, if you've learned about Christ, and Christ, you've heard Christ, and you have learned about Christ. That's what I'd like to talk about. Christ promises us, as he was here teaching, that when he left, he would not leave us without a teacher, without a comforter. And he had to go before the Holy Spirit could come and deal with us. He even told the disciples to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit was living inside of them. That happened 10 days later, approximately, when Peter preached at Pentecost. And 3,000 people were born again, and the church was started. Then they were allowed to go out and deal with people, because Jesus knew they were under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what he intends for us. Let's look, if you will, at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. You remember how hard to get along with Peter was to start with. He was the one that always said something first. He's always the one that came out with his sword before anybody else did. He was always starting trouble. But as a rule, he was a spokesman for the group. He was the one that was always willing to step out on faith when he stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. So he exerted a good bit of faith. But he got in a lot of trouble too, because sometimes his faith failed him. But he says here in verse 13, he says, as a Christian, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now that is an old Hebrew expression. You know, the men wore clothes that was down to their ankles. Well, anything, most of the things they had to do, that long skirt got in their way. I could remember my dad at the cafe had an apron. He'd take the bib of him and turn it inside and then tie it around his waist as he was cooking back there in the kitchen. Well, if he had to go to town or something, instead of taking his apron off, he'd take his apron and wad it up and twist it a couple of times, stick the end of it in his pocket, got it up out of the way. That's what he's talking about here. You remember Peter was naked in the boat fishing, and I've had to learn since that they call people naked who had their underwear on. Peter probably had his underwear on. He wasn't completely naked, but that's the way the Jews referred to him. But this expression, gird up the loins of your mind, what it means is to get ready for your mind to work. That's what he's talking about here. Twist up that long skirt, stick it in your belt so it'll be out of your way. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That means to use good judgment. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter here is saying, you guys who have believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who are now born again believers, you need to get your mind ready to be taught by Jesus. That's what he's saying, by revelation. Because you see, the thing is, for 1600 years, those who believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ didn't have a Bible to read. The Jews had the Old Testament read in the temple, but people didn't have Bibles to carry around like we have today. They couldn't confirm anything. All they had was word of mouth from people who had been with Jesus, spreading the word to people who had never seen Jesus. He's talking about hearing about Jesus. And you know in your own life how many things you have learned about Jesus Christ since you decided to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how you have been taught all those things. Some of them by preachers and teachers, some of them by looking at the Bible or what you heard somebody read out of the Bible, or some of them you just walking along and all of a sudden you thought about it, and the more you thought about it, the more you thought it was true, and you wondered where it come from sometime. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, are choosing for yourself according to the former lust of your ignorance, when you didn't know any better. Now that you're a Christian, you don't need to act like you did before you were a Christian. You didn't have a Holy Spirit to guide you. You didn't have a Holy Spirit to help you make decisions. And you made a lot of mistakes. And you acted like a lot of heathens do out there today, doing things that had no profit in them whatsoever. You didn't know any better, and that's the reason you did it. Now you're supposed to know better. Now you can call on Jesus to show you better. But as he which called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation, it says, the word is used, but that word now is behavior. Let your behavior be right. Act like you're a Christian, in other words. Walk in the Spirit. He talks all about that. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't do, like we said last week, what your mind tells you to do. Do what the Scripture and Bible teachers and preachers tells you to do. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let me tell you something I've learned. I don't think I can be holy. Maybe you figured that out. Just as soon as you try to get straightened out, live a day or two without making a mistake, you make mistakes. And it shows up, and you have to stop and ask the Lord to forgive you for doing what you just did. Because you see, it's not in our nature to be holy. Even with the divine nature that Christ gave you at salvation, you now have Christ's nature. And it's a different nature than you had before you were saved. And even with that, you can't go without making mistakes. But you see, you think about not acting like I did before I was saved. Not doing those crazy things that I know now are crazy, that I didn't think were so crazy back then. In other words, don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the same old crowd. You notice when you get saved, you start hanging out with different people after a bit. But see, some of us are shy about that. We like to blend in. We don't like to be standing out among our neighbors. We don't like to be showing ourselves in a crowd. We like to kind of blend in a little bit. And because of that, so many times, nobody in the crowd knows who we are, knows what we believe, and has a chance to be like we are, because we don't say anything. We don't even make a hint that we might be a Christian and living differently than we used to live. Some just don't like to be singled out like that. They feel like a light shining on them. And they would like to kind of get back in the shadows a little bit. And that is one thing that keeps us from being singled out for Jesus. Verse 17 says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." What that means is that the time you have left from this moment to the time that you die and are face to face with Jesus Christ, you need to keep a little bit of fear of doing anything you want to do, because some of it might not be approved of by God at all. And unless you know that what you're doing is approved, the Holy Spirit a lot of times will throw a caution sign up in your mind and say, "Hey man, you better not do this. You don't need to be doing this now. You're going to make a bad testimony for yourself." Why? Why do we need to be careful about that? "For as much," verse 18, "as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things." What is a corruptible thing? I think it's going to probably surprise you a little bit. And that guy on TV that's all the time trying to sell you gold. "You were not redeemed." You weren't bought with corruptible things as silver and gold. Whoa, my TV says that silver and gold stays the same value. You know, it's like that oak tree that fellow said. You know, it's been here 200 years, it's like gold. Well, you know, we've got to think ever so often that where we're going when we die, the streets are going to be paved with gold. God doesn't consider it that big a deal. But we weren't bought with silver and gold, as precious as they say it is on this earth. You were bought, wasn't bought with that from your vain behavior, received by tradition from your fathers. That's a neat thing. You know, the verse for this church we were given here probably the third week or fourth week we formed it years ago was Colossians 2:8. "Don't be spoiled by philosophy and vain deceit, by the traditions of men and the rudiments or rules of the world, and not after Jesus." Paul took that letter to the Colossians and took the traditions of men, vain deceit, and philosophy, and the rules of the world. He took all of that and put it over here, and he put Jesus over here. And he said, "You guys are supposed to follow Jesus, not those other things." I can remember years ago when we were forming this church, the leadership would get together and talk about what we were going to do with our new church and how we were going to operate. And when you go and ask people in other churches, "Why do y'all do this?" they'd say, "Oh, that's the way it's been done for years. That's the way it's always been done." That's where our granddaddy and grandmama did it. And that's the only reason they give you. Was it the right reason? We don't know. It's the way they've always done it. Well, several times in Scripture, Jesus has taught us not to do things just because that's the way grandma done it. That we need to think about it, study it in the Scriptures, and see how we need to organize ourselves to where we'll be obedient to Jesus Christ and not these other things. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or your empty way of doing things, received by tradition from your folk, you were doing the same thing they'd always done. But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus paid his blood for us, folks, for our sins, for your sins and for my sins. And that's what we need to keep in mind. People talk about salvation being free. Yes, it was. It was free for you and it was free for me. At least until after we got involved with it and found out how he expected us to live, we wasn't told so much about that. But I'm telling you something, it wasn't free to God. It cost him everything he had. His own precious son. And Jesus paid with his blood for you and me. He bought us off the slave box of sin, and we are now belonging to him. So that's the reason he has the right to say, "Be ye holy as I am holy." But I found, like I said, that I can't make myself holy. All I can do is do holy things. As I learn what God calls holy, what Jesus and the Holy Spirit says is holy, if I will do those things, I will expect that in time I'll become holy. Because I will be what God wants me to be. And here's the neat thing about the word holy. Holy is a simple word. It's not that complex. All it means is you're set apart for God. That's all it is. It's like Mama's special china. She don't put it out so the kids can break it. It's just when everybody's coming over for something special for Christmas or Thanksgiving. It's set apart and to be used for special things. And that's what God considers me and you. If we do holy things, we will set ourselves apart and people will see us as something special, something not to be used for every day that's easy to be broken. Turn, if you will, where we were last week, where we stopped last week, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, that's where we stopped off. He was talking about how people weren't being able to do like God wanted them to do, to become the thing that God wanted his children to be because of the ignorance and the hard-heartedness in them. They didn't know any better, and them that didn't know any better didn't want to. And we couldn't have the life that God wanted each one of us to have because of the way we were living. But it says in verse 20, but you didn't learn that from Christ. You didn't learn that from Jesus Christ. Your choice to go about doing just like you've always done, to do it like mom and daddy and granddaddy and grandmama did and everybody in the church for the last 200 years. If so be it, verse 21, look what it says. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind every day. I added that to it. In order to be renewed in your mind, that means to change your mind about what you ought to do based on what God says. Through the preaching, teaching, scripture, and revelation of the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ. You don't live like you used to live. You don't laugh and say, well, I used to do that, and then do it again this weekend. Because if you've heard him. Now, folks, take that statement right there and twist it around every kind of way. But you see what it says? If you've heard him. Heard who? Heard Jesus. Now, let me ask you this. Suppose somebody said, did you hear what so-and-so said? No, I didn't hear it. Well, here's what he said. Now, what does that mean? You heard him speak. And that's what this means. Have you heard Jesus speak to you about directions for what you ought to do? Have you asked him to tell you what to do about a certain thing? Well, if you're going to do that and improve your closeness to Jesus, you're going to have to change your mind every day about something. Because Jesus got us when we weren't anything near holy. And he's changing us as we go a little bit every day. We got to be willing to change our mind about what's holy and what's not. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He says, be holy, that means be the new man. Be the man I'm trying to make of you. Be the woman I'm trying to make of you. Be the boy or girl I'm trying to make of you. Don't stay the same the way you are. That's not going to work. In my 30s, I had just been, I guess you'd call, renewed. I was baptized at 10 years old, went to church all my life. But a good friend of mine, some of y'all know him. He's friends with some of you. It was Pat Kelly at Merchants and Planters Bank. Told me one day over his desk, I got a real problem here, Joe. I said, sure enough. He said, yeah. He said, you know, people come in my office all day long asking me to borrow money. And I got to say yes or no. And some of them, I don't know whether to tell them yes or tell them no. He said, so I just asked the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? You want me to let them have the money? You want me not to let them have the money? I just ask a question that can be answered with a yes or a no, and I've never yet asked that I didn't get an answer. Well, I thought that's pretty cool. So I went home and I started asking the Holy Spirit about everything I did in my business. What I do here, what I do there. And then somebody said, well, how do you know it's not Satan talking to you? Well, I got so confused, I finally went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm fixing to do whatever I hear in my mind. If you don't want Satan talking to me, you shut him up. Don't let him come in there and say anything. Because I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I started doing that. And I started asking the Holy Spirit of God for everything, every decision I had to make. And after a while, it was confirmed in my mind that that is what God wanted me to do to start with. My preachers heard about it. Two ordained men in my church, they started laughing about it. You know, John MacArthur don't believe you can ask God for advice and him tell you what to do. John MacArthur is a big author. He writes a lot of books, and a lot of people study him. A lot of people follow him. My youngest daughter went to his college in Santa Clarita, California, and that's the one thing I asked her to do, find out why they teach that. They never gave a reason. She asked all the professors why they teach that, because that's not what the Bible says. They couldn't tell her. But I found out, once I believed it, it's on every page. Do you realize something about this Bible? What you don't believe in this Bible, you can just tear that page out. Because it's not there for you. You've got to believe what's in this book for it to work for you. Believing and having faith is the same thing. So when the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith, it's impossible to please God without believing. That's what it means. They laughed and asked me, did God have an accent in his voice? And God said, you tell them this. I'm the one that invented the voice. You get an accent by learning from somebody else that has an accent. When you invent the voice, there is no accent. But it's a mental voice. It speaks to your mind. God speaks to your mind when you ask him, what do I do here? And the thought comes in your mind, sometimes immediately. That you put off concerning the former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in your spirit, in your mind, every day. And the new man that you put on will be a holy man. That's what it says. That is the how of the whole deal. Turn, if you will, please, one more verse. Romans chapter 12. It says an interesting thing here. It goes right along with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, where it talks about choosing whether or not you're going to be of the world or you're going to be of God. Most people don't realize that Satan uses the world to try to entice us away from God. You can turn on the news and you listen to all those people who testify that they're Christians all day long, and they never mention Satan's name one time. They never talk about there's a war going on in the world between Satan and God. And we are the pawns. We're the things that are used by Satan and God to prove to each other, they do, by how we're going to act and what we do. And it says in the 12th chapter of Romans in chapter 1, or verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Treat yourself special, in other words. Be singled out. Be holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus said, because I've done to you, you ought to do that just out of appreciation. And be not conformed to this world. Now that's an interesting statement right there, and I want to stop and explain it. The translators of the Bible, for some reason, used a different tense. It says, don't you be conformed to the world that you're living in. Don't act like the world. Like we said before in Colossians 2:8, don't be caught up in philosophy and vain deceit and traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, and not Jesus. Don't be conformed to what's in the world around you. We're affected by it every day. But what this says is, not don't be conformed, it says stop being conformed. Paul is assuming here that every one of us, every day from the time we came out of our mom's womb into this world, we are being conformed to the world. We're being made more like the world every day. And the world, Jesus says, is a bad place. That if we do things like the world does things, we mess up. So stop being conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is again. Every day you change your mind a little about what you believe in about God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me ask you something, folks. How do you know what God wants? You study, and you get taught, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you what all those things are. And then you go out and you can testify to other people what God is all about. But when we get too liking the world too much, we go to acting like the world, like everybody out there that doesn't have Jesus like we do. You can't act like those folks. You got to be singled out. God intended for His people to be different. He gave all those rules and regulations to the Jews so that people could recognize them wherever they happened to be. Well, He's given a few things to us too as we became children of God. He tells us how to act, and He says you'll know them by their love. And you will. Children of God show love when nobody else does. But I tell you something else, people, that's not the only way you can recognize a child of God. You can recognize them also by seeing Jesus in them. They said that the disciples lived such a life that as they went about teaching and preaching, that people could see that they had been with Jesus. Can people be around you a little bit and see that you've been with Jesus? That's the whole thing. And so we stop right there. We talk about that we don't need to be afraid to be the kind of person that the Bible describes as those approved of by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit throws up caution flags and say, you better be careful doing that. I have been in front of a crowd speaking, and Jesus would stop me and say, you just said something that I don't want you to say. And I'd get to stuttering and flabbergasting and whatever and have to just stop and ask God to forgive me for it. And that's what it's all about. Is being that old man, doing those old things that we used to do. Because I don't have a very good record myself. I used to get in bad shape all the time by things that I chose to do. But see, we can choose to have a holy life, to be set apart for Jesus, and do things in the way that a holy person does them, and we'll be considered holy. So I ask you today, be something that God can say, yonder comes, and you put your name in there. Yonder comes so-and-so. He's one of my children. That's what He said about Job, you remember? He's the most righteous man in the world. Told Satan that. Look at him. Look at him. He's the best guy in the whole world. Wouldn't you want to be talked about like that by the God that you serve? As He says in chapter 12 of Romans, you really, by what God has done for you, you really deserve to do that. to present your body as a living sacrifice, a testimony to God, and sharing it with other people. And then they've got to go off and say, well, is that guy right there reputable? I mean, will he tell you the truth? Oh, yeah. Yeah, what he tells you is so. Well, then you know what he says about God must be right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for teaching us. Thank you for continuing to remind us all the time, every day, about what you expect of us. That we might live in such a way that you will call us holy. And other people will want to live like we do. Because you are in our lives, guiding us to do the right things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.